This is We Teach Languages, a podcast about language teaching from the diverse perspectives of teachers. I'm Stacy Johnson, and today on episode 88, Dr. Claire Knowles interviews Dr. Errol O'Neill about Google Translate in the language classroom. Errol is a teacher and researcher who studies the role of Google Translate in the language classroom. Claire is also a language teacher, and her doctoral dissertation on Google Translate won the 2017 ACTFL NFMLTA Emma Marie Birkmeyer Award for Doctoral Dissertation Research in Foreign Language Education. She is also a previous guest on the podcast. She was featured in episode 9 about performance assessment in a fully online Spanish course. This is the first part of a two-part episode, and as you listen this week, if any questions about Google Translate or its usefulness in the classroom occur to you, please send them in to the podcast. You'll hear all of our contact information at the end of the episode, but we would love to be able, in part two, to answer any questions that come up during part one.
Today I'm talking to Dr. O'Neill, who is an assistant professor at the University of Memphis. So just to get everybody familiarized, can you tell us a little bit about your students, your school, what you teach?
Yes, so thank you very much. It's nice to talk to you again. As you said, I'm an assistant professor at the University of Memphis. We're located in Memphis, Tennessee. We have about, 15,000 students. I teach mostly undergraduates. I teach first and second semester in French, as well as graduate students as well. So I basically go from both ends of the spectrum to complete beginners to more advanced students in French.
Excellent. And we do share some interests, and the reason that we know each other, I graduated from the University of Memphis with my doctoral degree, and my dissertation was about Google Translate, and you are also interested in Google Translate.
It was a very nice coincidence that there were two people at the University of Memphis who were both interested in online translation. There's not a lot, although more and more people are looking into it, it's still a nascent field in second language learning.
If you were going to describe what Google Translate is and what it does, what would you say?
So I would just say that online translators, and the most popular is Google Translate, is a way to get an instant translation of text that you put in one language. So the L1, generally one's native language, you put it into Google Translate, and it automatically translates it into an L2. This is something that originally the makers of Babelfish, which was the first online translator back in 97, they said the idea was for people to get a gist of what websites were saying. If you were reading a page in German, for example, and you didn't understand German, you would put the text into the translator and then you could get a translation into English, for example, so you could understand something that otherwise wouldn't be accessible to you. But early on, they realized that that wasn't one of the main uses, that actually foreign language students were using online translators to do their homework. And so that was an unintended consequence, but that is among the most popular uses of it nowadays. And so what's being done instead is their students and other people, not just students, put text into the online translator in their native language and then have the computer translate it into a foreign language so that they're able to express themselves in a language that they're not fluent in. So that's an evolution that has happened, that now, even from the beginning, students are using it to translate into a language they're learning.
Right. And it is really interesting, when I went through my degree and dissertation, researching the technology, even in the few years since I graduated in 2016, the technology is still advancing. And now they use artificial intelligence. And the more you use it, the more it learns about what you want from it, which is pretty amazing stuff.
Right, it is. And that used to be one of the things at the beginning of the life of online translators was that it was generally pretty easy to tell when an online translator had been used because of the mistakes that online translators made. But now, in particular with Google Translate, as you mentioned, in 2016 actually is when they moved to a new engine. It's statistically based, and it has as a corpus the wide range of sites that are available in a Google search. So you have just billions and billions of words from various websites, and they generally are culled from sites that are in two or more languages, so they can see where what part of the text in the L1 corresponds with the text in the L2 in the other language. So based on the number of occurrences of words that seem to co-occur, it proposes a translation. And between that and also some programming as well, in terms of catching some things that are coming up frequently that are not correct, then they're able to give fairly accurate results now. So yes, even just in the past few years, it's gotten a lot better. So Google is learning basically every time we're making a translation.
And it obviously varies. I know in Spanish, and like you said, the interest in it is from a teaching perspective is fairly nascent, and there's not a lot of research available about exactly how accurate it is. And I guess it's language is complex and it varies. But I think one of the, and this is going back several years, for English Spanish, I know it had 80% accuracy rate. Do you know if there's any data out there about the accuracy in French?
I'm not aware of any. A lot in the press has been focusing specifically on Spanish in the U.S. for demographic reasons, but that is something that I think is surprising to a lot of people to hear that it's 80% or more accurate in some languages. And I know that a long time ago, there were some studies that were looking at a very small subset of sentences and trying to judge accuracy. It's very difficult. There have to be a wide-ranging test of different types of expressions, different grammar, different vocabulary, in order to be able to judge the overall accuracy. It's something that I think is worth doing. I know that there was an article that just came out recently in Foreign Language Annals that was looking at some of the mistakes that Google and other online translators used to make that they're not necessarily making anymore. Things like for languages that have gender agreement, it used to be that you could tell right away whether or not, you would have a very good guess as to whether or not a translator was used if a student was writing in nearly perfect French or Spanish, and then all of a sudden they're using pronouns to refer to themselves that are the wrong gender. So that's one thing that has improved, that there's now, for a short distance agreement, Google will pick up on that, and they will be able to say if the subject is feminine and there's an adjective referring to that subject, more often than not, it will actually do the agreement correctly. And the same thing with some common idioms. For more common expressions, there are enough examples of it out there that the online translator now is able to give an accurate translation of those idioms instead of literally translating it one word after another, for example. But there are still some things that it does have problems doing. Context, for example, it's not going to have the real world human knowledge in terms of what context is being talked about, who the participants are, the broader subject area. Culture as well is something that it may not know what is culturally appropriate, both in terms of formality. It may be in Spanish translating using tu instead of usted, or in French tu instead of vous. So there are a lot of things that it has improved on. It's gotten better on a lot of grammatical features, but there are still a number of areas that they make mistakes in.
Moving it towards looking in the classroom, and that whilst it makes it perhaps more beneficial for students to use, it is also more difficult for instructors to catch. And I'm wondering, although we both share an interest in Google Translate, it is perhaps not a common interest amongst instructors. And I wonder, at your institution, what are the perceptions of other people, instructors in your department, for example, towards Google Translate?
I think like many departments now, there's a variety of opinions. And it's been interesting to see in the past few years how opinions have changed. I actually gave a talk at ACTFL this past year. And I had a number of people, about 50 people, who attended the talk. So I think that interest is really growing on this topic. And also, just talking to my colleagues, I talked to a colleague of mine shortly before the new year, and he mentioned that his attitude and his approach towards online translators has changed. It used to be that immediately if he saw a student looking up something in Google Translate on their phone in class, for example, he would tell them not to do that, put that away. But now, one thing that has been brought up in the literature by Nino, for example, Ana Nino, is that one reason the students are using it, online translation, is that it gives them a response to immediate linguistic needs. So, and that's something that we as teachers want to encourage. If a student is trying to express themselves in the target language and they're unable to do so, many times they just shut down. They won't participate. They won't volunteer. But if they can get a little nudge using a dictionary or an online translator, then they may be able to participate more and use the language more. So there are still definitely some instructors here who are very much against online translation. I would say a lot of them are in between, where they know that it's out there. They know students are using them. And it's really difficult to know what to do about them, especially since, in theory, we're not supposed to be allowing students to use them, at least on graded work. So there, I would say there are a variety of opinions.
That's interesting, yes. And especially looking at some of the research that's out there, especially the Clifford, Mershall, and is it Mooney, 2013, where they look, and we're looking at between, I think it was high 80s into the 90s% of students admitted at some point that they used some kind of translation, despite being at schools where it was strictly prohibited. So students are using it. And just to go back a little bit, I'm interested, when you first started, because you said that attitudes are starting to change, but I imagine that when you were writing your dissertation, you were perhaps a little bit of a maverick there. What drew you to Google Translate, or to online translation, rather?
Yes, and at the beginning, definitely people were just starting to become aware of online translation. And I would say it was maybe 2002, 2003, I started to notice unusual things in my students' composition. So suddenly they'd be writing in French, and then there'd be a misspelled word in English just out of the blue. So things like T-E-H instead of T-H-E, or using the wrong type of there versus there versus there, the different spellings, and having the incorrect equivalent in French for those. Or sometimes just literal translations. I remember one time it came up with Bill's house. So the person Bill, his house, but it was translated as la maison de facture. So facture in French means like a bill that you receive for payment. So I was starting to see those sorts of things popping up, and then I became more interested. At first, I was very much dead set against Babelfish and online translation because of that, but then I started to realize, well, students are turning towards these. Is there some use for them? Is there some need that it's fulfilling? I was looking for a topic for my dissertation, and there didn't seem to be much out there in terms of online translation for L2 learning. There had been some in terms of machine translation, which I use machine translation to refer more broadly to, that can be professional products, or back in the olden days, like IBM or other companies having these big computers that would do translation for corporations or for the weather or things like that. But looking specifically at the online version that was freely available to students. And so I decided to look into what sort of effect that might have on students' learning, and specifically their writing. And when I first proposed that topic, faculty pretty much assumed that basically my dissertation was related to how well students could write using online translators. So I had one group that was using the online translator with training, giving them some sort of instruction on what are some things that translators do poorly or what it does well, then students not having any training in online translators writing compositions, and then another group that didn't use online translators at all. And so the assumption from everyone was pretty much, of course, the people who aren't using the online translator are going to do better because look at all the mistakes that Babelfish at the time was making. But in actuality, what happened was the students using the online translator with training in one of the two composition tasks outperformed the control group that didn't use the translator at all. And on several individual measures, such as comprehensibility and spelling, and the people using the online translator actually did better than the control group. So it seemed like they weren't doing any worse, and in some cases actually doing better than students who weren't using the translator. So at the time, both in the literature and just the general consensus among faculty and among instructors was, well, I can tell when a student has used Babelfish because there are too many mistakes. When it's actually gradually, as time has come gone on and the technology has improved, it can be the opposite now. If the composition is too good, quote unquote, then you might suspect that a student is using an online translator.
That's interesting. So that was when you initially did your research, and you have continued to, you said that you just spoke at ACTFL recently on the topic. And are you looking at the same differences between students who use it with training, who use it without training, and who don't use it at all in compositions?
Yes, with my most recent study, I actually expanded a little bit to look not only at Google Translate, but also at Word Reference, which is an online dictionary, because that was a question that came up a lot when I would give talks, would be, okay, well, I don't like online translators, but I tell my students to use online dictionaries as well. So I thought that it would be interesting to compare student performance between online translators and online dictionaries. And I'm still working on analyzing some of the results. I have a couple articles that are out there being considered and also another one that's in the works. But what it's looking like from my data is that, similar to my previous study, there are some students using the tool with training and some without the training. So there's a group that use Google Translate with training, one that use Google Translate without training. But then there are two groups that use Word Reference. One of them had training in using Word Reference. One of them didn't have training in Word Reference. And then there was a group that used neither tool. And what my initial results are showing that is that the Google Translate group that had training did better than all of the other groups in terms of their compositions, the scores they got on their compositions. And the next highest group is actually Word Reference with training. So it may be that training is an important part of how well students are going to be able to do with using Google Translate or other electronic tools. I thought that that was interesting, that now that some time has passed and there have been some improvements with Google Translate, that it seems, I'm still analyzing it, but it seems like there's a clearer distinction between those using Google Translate and how well they did, as opposed to those using no tool at all, which did statistically worse than those using Google Translate.
And what would you say, however, to people that perhaps look at that research and say, well, of course, the students who use Google Translate did better, it's not their own work. They're relying on the technology to do the work for them. Therefore, it shouldn't be included. How would you respond to something like that?
And that's a very good point. And I would say that in an ideal world, that it might be something to consider to ban Google Translate and to not let students use it at all. But as you mentioned with the Clifford et al. Study, and also with my most recent study, I found 88% of students that are using online translators, even though they're not allowed. So I think that it's pretty near impossible unless you use students, if you have students writing all of their compositions on paper in class without any access to their phones or computers, then that's not realistic to do that all the time. I think that that's actually hindering student progression in the language if they're not able to use the technology that they're used to, that can actually help them to communicate. But I would say that that's also a valid concern. One question that comes up is whether or not they're actually learning anything out of it. And I think that there are some students who are out there who will just write something in a French class, for example. They'll just write out the text in English and then put it into the translator in French and not give a second thought about it. In cases like that, I don't think students are learning, but I think a lot of them are using it more intelligently. And I actually found that it's nearly the same percentage of students using online dictionaries, about 88%, that are using online translators. So, and they're also using it, over 75% of them use online translators and online dictionaries for non-graded work. So it's not that they're just trying to get an easy A. Even if they're not getting a grade on it, they're still turning towards online translators for help. So I would say that it's important for us to try to think what are best ways to help students make responsible choices in how they're using technology, that they're not using it without thinking about it, that they're maybe using it for more targeted language use. So they're not, that they're trying to work on their own, but then if they use the translator for a phrase or two here or there, I think that can actually help them with learning how the language works. But getting to whether or not there are long-term effects, that's also something that people ask me about. Well, they do well on that composition, but what about later on? Is it actually hurting them? And in my study with the delayed post-test, so looking 3 or 4 weeks later after they stopped using the translator, there was no significant difference among groups. So I'll be analyzing that a little bit more to make sure that those results are confirmed. But what it's looking like right now is that maybe initially they may, in their comments, mention about worrying becoming too dependent on the online translator. But then even a few weeks later, when they're doing a composition on their own, they're not doing significantly worse than the group using word reference or not using anything at all. It's a very controversial and important topic, but I think we can't say right now that we would just ban Google Translate altogether. I don't think that's realistic, and I don't think there's necessarily the research out there to say that it's bad for students.
Sure thing. I completely agree. And I think also that we don't teach language in a bubble of the classroom. They are, whilst some students take it because it's a requirement for their degree, we have the idea that we want them to go out in the world and communicate. And if they have a tool that enables them to take the language out of the classroom, especially, you know, speaking to a native speaker in their own language is really intimidating for some students. And having a tool that enables them to do that and enables them to travel and, you know, interact with people in that language, I think it takes language to where that they're supposed to be using it, which is outside of the class.
Right, I completely agree. And that's something that I've thought about recently. It came up with the class that I was teaching with my graduate students that we were practicing, it was French for the Professions. And one thing that they wanted to practice was sort of interactions that you could have with native speakers. And so I had thought about including something related to asking for directions. And it's true that people still do ask for directions, but one of the students brought up, well, I just have my GPS. So it's similar with Google Translate. It used to be that when you were talking to a native speaker or you were about to talk to a native speaker, sort of preparing for the interaction, that maybe you would have a dictionary that you would get into your backpack and pull out and flip through all the pages. But now, in just a few seconds, you can pull up your phone and type in a word and get it's usually better to use more than just one isolated word in Google Translate. But if you do a couple of words and then you get something out of it, then that might help you in terms of your interaction with the native speaker and the target culture. So I completely agree with you. And I think that was in Dukaran Shaket, foreign language analyst article that I mentioned earlier, and I think it's also been mentioned elsewhere, that it's Basically, using an online translator might be like using GPS that it can help you get to your destination, but that doesn't mean that you can solely rely on GPS all the time. You also, when you're living in a city, need to start learning on your own how to get somewhere.
I really like that analogy, absolutely, that it facilitates what you mean to do, but you also have to learn how to get from A to B yourself.
Exactly.
We would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook at WeTeachLang. You can comment on any of the episodes on our website at weteachlang.com. Don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about the show, and please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or on your podcast app of choice to help others find the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.